Welcome to the SCIF Meetings podcast, where we speak to the movers and shakers leading the dynamic world of business events. I'm your host, Miguel Nevj, the editor-in-chief at SCIF Meetings, and today I'm speaking with Sisi Lignou, the CEO of Greek professional congress organizers AFEA. Sisi took over the family business, so was essentially born into the world of events. AFEA, the company she now leads, is deeply rooted in Greek tourism and traces its roots from a corporate travel agency to becoming a professional congress organizer. One of Sisi's personal highlights is an incredible stint working at the Athens Olympic Games from 2000 to 2004, which undoubtedly shaped her career trajectory. She advocates for the role of a professional congress organizer, PCO, which she sees as an integral yet often misunderstood cog in the machinery of business events. She's also very active with IAPCO, the International Association of PCOs, and highlights their importance in raising the profile of the meetings industry across the business world. We wrap up our conversation by discussing the broader challenges and trends shaping the future of our industry, including the adoption of AI, evolving event formats, and the pressing need for advocacy and education. Buckle up for a captivating episode filled with insights, anecdotes, and forward thinking from one of the meetings industry's leading voices. And now for a word from our sponsors, PHL Life Sciences, a division of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. Host your convention or trade show in Philadelphia, one of America's leading life sciences hubs. PHL Life Sciences, the first and only CVB division of its kind, will connect you to the professionals at the forefront of your industry and to a culture you can only find in Philadelphia. A city known for its rich history that's forging a bright future, Philadelphia challenges the expected and defies convention. A world of discovery is waiting. Visit phllife.com to learn more. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the SCIF Meetings podcast. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Sisi Lignou. That is a tough one to say, but Sisi, welcome to the event. You're the CEO of AFEA, and you have a number of other titles, and we'll get to that. But first, I just want to say welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Miguel. It's my pleasure to be part of your podcast.
Thank you so much. Wanted to just start by asking you to introduce yourself, you know, where you're, talk to us a little bit about your career, but I'd like you to start from the first moment, if you remember, of when you first came into contact with business events, perhaps as a student or whenever that was, if you can remember when you first realized there was such a thing as business events as an industry. Let's start there.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure. Well, actually, I realized when I was pretty young, as the company I'm running and I'm currently leading as a CEO is a family business founded by my father. So as you can realize, meetings have been part of my life since I was a little girl, and I was always volunteering and being part of registration desk and the team on site, and even pre-event, I used to help. So it was part of my life already when I was a student. So even earlier, I would say.
So you were really born into this industry very much.
Yes, it has been part of my life since I was born. And the company was founded actually on the year I was born. So it's not a coincidence. It's just happened. And it's been part of my life forever.
Okay. And what does the company do? What does it specialize in, and how has it sort of developed over the years?
Of course. So AFEA is a company which is established in the Greek tourism and meetings industry for the last 45 years. It was founded at the end of 1977. It first started as a corporate travel agency, and then it developed to a meeting planner, a professional congress organizer. We entered the meetings industry in the 90s, and after a while, and after I joined the company, we also joined major associations such as IAPCO, ICA, and others. Of course, I did not start my career in the family business, as it was my intention, my desire, my wish to work somewhere else first. And there was a great opportunity in 2000 in Athens with the Athens Olympic Games. So in the period 2001 to 2004, I was an executive in the public relations department and events department of the organizing committee for the Olympic Games. And this is actually where my actual career within the events industry started. This was an amazing experience, one in a lifetime experience. And after that, in 2004, I joined AFEA. And since then, I've been I started as a junior project coordinator, and then I climbed positions to become the management part of the company right now. And we specialize in corporate tourism, corporate meetings, and of course, association conferences and all types of events in and outside of Greece.
I'm glad you brought up the Olympic Games. I mean, that sounds like a great something hard to top, right? A great kind of point of your career.
It was a huge highlight. I think it happens once in a lifetime, and I would definitely do it again. You know, with very strict deadlines, with very high officials around us. We traveled all around the world for the events of the organizing committee. We met amazing people. During the games, I was part of the Olympic Village, as I was part of the communications team of the Olympic Village. So it was my huge pleasure and honor to be part of all the athletes going around. So all this adrenaline and speed in a very high level was an amazing experience, and an honor for Athens to have hosted the games, of course.
For sure.
It's where the first game started. It's the origin. It's the destination where the first Olympic Games started, the ancient and the modern ones.
Absolutely. So when you speak to people that are outside the industry, let's say family, friends that don't really know the industry, how do you explain what you do?
That's a very good question. Sometimes people don't understand what we do. And this is a good occasion to mention that apart from my business role as a CEO of AFEA, I'm also the president of the National Association of PCOs in Greece, and have been part of the Council of HAPCO and DES for 15 years, first as a general secretary, and recently elected 1.5 years ago as a president. And it's also my honor that I've been elected twice in the Council of IAPCO, which is the major association of professional meetings worldwide. It's the International Association of Professional Congress Organizers. And both associations have a larger objective in promoting the value of our industry and showcasing the world what our profession is about. So the recognition of the meetings industry. So when people ask me, I say that I do an amazing job with a lot of color. I organize events all around the world with the aim to bring people together, to promote education, knowledge, experience sharing, incentive trips, and all other types of events. I try to describe the type of events. And of course, I'm proud to say that every event is a different world. And it's, of course, a tough industry. It's not an easy job to do. It's a stressful business. But apart from that, it's one of a kind. And that's what I say.
Sounds
I'm
good.
I'm not sure everyone gets it, but yes.
You've mentioned this concept of PCO, professional congress organizer, a number of times.
Yes.
What does that mean to you? Is that just a way to describe the type of company that you are, or is there more to it?
Actually, our profession has not been officially recognized and certified as other businesses have. And that's one of the major goals and let's say the largest vision of both HAPCO, IAPCO, and all associations involved in the industry. We are called professional congress organizers because we have all the tools, the education, and the expertise to organize an event from A to Z. And an event is not just the selection of a meeting room and the hiring of audiovisual equipment. It's much, much more than that. It's a huge puzzle with 1,000 pieces, which have to be all together in order for the event to be successful. So the Congress organizer has to be professional. He has to be a professional maestro of the orchestra to coordinate all the players and all the pieces together. And we are speaking out about more than 40 professions involved in the industry, more than 40 professions necessary to make an event happen. And this is all coordinated by a professional Congress organizer. Only an expert in this field can do it in the right way and can coordinate all the suppliers, all the key stakeholders, the venues, the needs in the most successful way.
I think this is a very interesting point. I do see some challenges in terms of how different companies offer different sets of products, right, or services. For example, in the US, the term professional Congress organizer is not very common. It's not a kind of set of services or a type of company that is necessarily very common. So do you think that's a barrier in terms of defining the profession? Because some companies might just, you know, find venues, some might coordinate the AV and do registration, but not do a lot of other things, for example. How do we bring that together, right? Because different companies will offer different things and be called different things, of course.
Yes, of course. And in the US, we say business events, and this is also a terminology used, of course, and we accept this term, absolutely. There are so many types of events. If we're speaking about IAPCO, for example, which represents the association representing the professional Congress organizer, we're speaking about more than 100 companies in the world who have to be certified and evaluated on a yearly basis on at least 10 or 15 modules of a professional Congress organization. And this means venue management, sponsorship management, scientific management, logistics, abstract management, speaker management, budgeting, new technologies, AI. So it's not just about the organization of an event. And of course, there are many types of different event planners around the world. Even HAPCO, our national association, consists of PCOs, DMCs, event planners. So we're not just speaking about PCOs. DMCs are, there are amazing DMCs around the world organizing corporate events of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, which are one of a kind. That's a different expertise than the expertise of a professional Congress organizer. So Congress organizer has to have all the necessary platforms, first of all, in order to deliver an association event, a conference, a governmental event, has to have the expertise, has to be ideally accredited in a broader organization, and has to be able to deliver at least 80% of all the modules necessary for the organization of an event. So it's like a science, and it's not easy to be a professional Congress organizer if you don't have the expertise. But of course, the business events industry is a broader term that we use. We're all part of it, and it's important for all of us to advocate on the value of this industry.
Yeah, totally agree. So let's zoom out a little bit in terms of kind of challenges that you're seeing. I mean, it sounds like this, the naming and the quality of companies is a challenge, but do you have other challenges that you're facing or that you feel like the industry is facing that worry you, that keep you up at night?
Yes, absolutely. Many challenges, which also brought opportunities. In the case of COVID, for example, we became one with technology. We had to evolve in like one day, and then make it part of our lives and use it to our benefit. So technology can be a challenge and opportunity. AI has entered our lives, and we are trying to introduce this element stronger and stronger in our daily business. I'm sure you know, for example, that PCMA launched an AI tool for the scientific programming of events. We use different AI tools for different reasons, content management, even creation of a whole identity, but of course, always with the support of the human element. I would say, though, that the lack of education for professional meeting planning and talent retaining and engagement is still a huge challenge. is part of my everyday life and routine and concern. The fact that leaders have to be on top of their people and make them feel motivated and make them feel interested to deliver events is becoming more and more difficult because there are not so many experts in any anymore available. So we need to search or create new talents. And this can happen, first of all, if we, let's say, integrate people from other industries in our teams and educate them, which takes longer time, or start from a lower level and really integrate education on business events, conferences and events in general in the universities. And many, many countries have a huge problem and huge lack of that. So tourism overall is part of the education, but meeting planning is not really the case everywhere. And I think this is very important. And so I would say that the people management is definitely a challenge that we're going to tackle in the future. Diversity and inclusion is also part of our lives. And sustainability, some companies have integrated it fully. Smaller companies are still working on it. It has to be a rule, a law in the future for all of us and part of our routine in our business. Those are the challenges I would identify for now. Don't know if I'm missing something.
Going back to the HR or kind of building and nurturing your team, you mentioned somewhat a lack of visibility of the industry when it comes to the education. Is it a lack of visibility because people just don't know about it? Or is there also an element of attractiveness of sort of the industry not seeming so attractive for a younger audience? And, you know, can we do anything about that?
It's definitely a lack of visibility because people don't know about it. For example, in my country, we always... And in my company, personally, I always have an internship. We always take internships and students to make their practice in our business. And what we find out is that they do have some classes on meetings, but they don't really know what they are about. So that some of them don't even know what they mean. So now we're trying to enter into universities and give some more lectures. So definitely the younger generation does not know about it. But also, as it was said by an IAPCO member during an IAPCO annual meeting, our industry is not sexy enough, if I'm allowed to say this term. We have to make it more attractive. And we have to make it more visible and more, let's say, interesting for people to so that we create their interest for them to enter our industry. And this can be done in different ways. We need to be more creative and, of course, listen to the trends of the new generation and transform our teams and our structures in a way that they will want to be part of our teams and our businesses. And that's something I'm trying to do already.
Yeah, very interesting.
I don't know if you agree with that, but that's my view of things.
I think it's fascinating. I'm curious whether it's a marketing problem, whether it's a societal problem. I do feel that in some ways the COVID pandemic made it harder because I think the travel element of the meetings industry was quite appealing. And I think now with sort of remote working and hybrid offices and more flexibility and sort of a time to reflect on what you really want to do has maybe lessened the appeal on that side. And I think while wages in the meetings industry are not very high, there are sort of perks to the job that I think used to be more appealing or used to have more of an allure. And so I think now there's a bit of a marketing issue where if we can't get younger audiences to understand how game-changing events can be, how they can really shape companies and how can it be really important in that way, then I think it's going to be very hard to pay what we normally pay and expect young people to be attractive. So there might be a need to sort of raise wages,
wages, etc.
But also makes it harder, right? Because then events become more expensive. So it's not an easy balance to maintain.
It definitely requires a strategy. And on that point, it is, I think it's the best occasion to mention that one of the key pillars of the future strategy of IAPCO is advocacy. And I'm also proud to be part of this specific pillar as a council member. And the aim of this priority will be to raise the profile of our profession in the outside world, to speak outside of our bubble, to promote the value of a PCO on the first point, but in the event industry in general. And this will go in different directions. It will include marketing, it will include education, and it will reach the lower part of the chain. We're speaking about the students and the new generation, but it will also reach the governments and the authorities. And I'm sure you know very well that in many countries, the value of this industry and what it brings, not only to an economy, to the society, to the community, sustainability is huge. A participant spends 7 times more than a tourist, and the meetings industry helps more than, as we said, for 40 professions. So the aim is to raise the voice, first of all, outside of the bubble and create buzz around our profession. And this is going to be a big challenge, but I'm very excited for what's coming.
Sounds good. Looking forward to hearing or learning more about that.
Are you ready to celebrate your successes in the world of meetings and events? The SCIFT Meetings Awards are back for 2024, recognizing the most innovative business events companies across 15 categories, and we want you to be a part of it. Winners will feature on SCIFT Meetings, sending a clear signal to events professionals around the world that these are partners they can rely on. The final deadline for submissions is June 11th. We encourage you to start your submission today to secure the best entry rates. For more information and to start your submission, head to live.skift.com.
What about sustainability? We are an industry that promotes international travel, and that is a big carbon footprint. On the other hand, we promote discussion, we promote dialogue. How do you see sustainability? And I'm talking more big picture in terms of our industry, what we do, and how we can be more sustainable as an industry.
Well, on the one hand, travel is maybe something that does not help our sustainability, our future, in a sustainable future. But on the other hand, consider what would happen if we didn't have the meetings, if we didn't have this exchange of knowledge and education, which contributes even to the public health improvement, distribution of new trends and new knowledge to communities, helps promotes a destination, gives a value and income to a specific country. So there might be some disadvantages, but the advantages are huge, and I believe that our meetings industry touches many of the SDG goals, synergies, life below water, education, and many others. And so I believe that our industry should be a key player in promoting sustainability in the future, and should have an instrumental role in integrating it into our strategy, future strategies.
And in terms of the practical side, are you looking at different ways to reduce that footprint on one side, but also increase the social benefits and other elements of sustainability that can be beneficial from events?
Events can be, let's say, the best vehicle to promote sustainability. With several actions that are integrated in the event design of each of our events. First of all, we try to reduce carbon footprint. And of course, we include special activities like, for example, donations, the offerings to poor communities, and the inclusion of volunteers and students. So the promotion of education, which is also part of sustainability. And as a company, we have also won the collaboration awards on because of a collaboration we did with CSR, which is a Greek organization promoting sustainability in the country. Members of this company are the major enterprises in Greece. And we organized various seminars in Greece with the aim to raise the awareness on sustainability. And this is also something we do as an association and as a company. So yes, I believe events can be the best vehicle to promote sustainability and increase sustainability activity.
What about stress? This is something that comes up a lot with this profession. And you mentioned already quite a few things about, you know, the different aspects of the PCO world and different skills. And that's a lot of work and a lot of different boxes to tick and a lot of different aspects to kind of be experts on. How do you manage stress for yourself, for your team, and you know, is it an issue, and how do you deal with it?
First of all, I'm proud to say that we have team members for more than 10 or 15 years with us, which means that they feel safe in this environment, and that happens because me personally, but the whole management team, we are very close to our people, and that's important to reduce their stress factors, first of all, as a first point. But there's so much more to do. Well-being and work-life balance is a huge topic of our industry, and it has increased. Of course, the need for work-life balance has increased during COVID. So it is important that all leaders of this industry implement strategies and do activities that promote and support the mental health and the mental well-being of our people. No matter if we are speaking about seminars, about incentive trips, about let's say breaks within the day, as different celebrations, acknowledgements of team efforts. This is a factor that has been very, very important in the last years. And IAPCO, as well as HAPCO, I must speak about IAPCO first, of course. At our annual meeting, we always include mental health topics for senior leaders, of course, and even in it is part of our education. IAPCO Edge is the educational seminar of IAPCO, and it always includes personal development and mental health sessions, which are getting the highest rankings, actually, which means that younger professionals really need to have these elements in their daily, not in the daily, but let's say in their monthly routine in the companies. And that's what we all need to do.
There's some great initiatives that you've already mentioned there, so definitely worth exploring more. So let's talk a little bit about trends. You've already mentioned AI. Happy to talk a little bit more about AI, but are there any other trends that you're excited about right now that you're seeing coming up ahead?
Yes, a big AI is the top trend, let's say, that really needs to be studied further. We need to pay attention to that, though, and use it in our benefit, because in some cases it can, let's say, create more distance of a personal touch to the final result in many ways, no matter if we're speaking about content or brand or marketing or even the organization of the event. But for sure, we're identifying different elements that are already part of our events. And I believe the AI story will grow in the future and will be a major discussion as part of the trends. Another trend we see is the format of events. So it is a fact that the larger events have already changed. And we see that in many ways. We also see it during exhibitions. As you know, IMEX uses parallel silent rooms or larger focused meetings or expert meetings or different kinds of event design that are implemented in our events. Also, it is the fact that our clients are asking for more focused education. And if we're speaking about medical events, we have already created a new stream on hands-on surgery, for example, 3D, 4D. There is a higher need from our clients and the associations we collaborate to integrate new event formats into the future strategies. And that's definitely a trend that we have to follow if we want to be competitive and creative at the same time. So yes, I think event formats are going to be a trend in the future, and that's something we need to consider.
Interesting. So if you imagine a event, let's take a typical association event, something like that, in something like 5 years' time, do you see it being quite different to what it is today?
Definitely, it will be different. If we look 2 years, the events 2 years ago, of course we had COVID, the events look already different. We didn't even know how to deliver. We knew, but we didn't really know how to deliver hybrid meetings in 30 parallel rooms, 7 days without any problems. Now we know. So AI will definitely a part of it. I see many meeting rooms created in different ways with the support of AI. I see speakers presenting without being present, of course, but not just through Zoom or Teams or whatever, or another platform. I see different kind of participation, perhaps, apart from those we know. I don't know how it's going to look like, but definitely it will be part of it. Sponsors and exhibitors will want to invest in different kinds of services, and not just a booth or a satellite symposium. Many different tools will enter even the scientific part of the meetings. That's what I see. I don't have a precise description for all of that, but I believe that technology and AI will definitely be part of it, even pre-event, for the whole experience of the participant during registration, after registration, during the submission of the scientific abstract, upon approval, everything will be done in a more automated way. But also, I think that the need to keep the human element very strong in these changes will also be highly important. And I hope that in 3 years from now, our meetings, our industry will be in another level, as you know, in regards to advocacy and acceptance and recognition, and will be considered and valued as one of the top industries in the world, because we are a very powerful industry, and it has not been really accepted yet in the way we want.
That's a great vision for the future. Thank you for sharing. So just in terms of sort of practical applications or practical versions of this, you attend IAPCO events and HAPCO events, and I assume you also do other events. Have you joined or participated in any events lately that impressed you, that kind of, you know, were interesting for you, or that you saw a glimpse of the future in, and could you tell us a little bit about what you saw and why that impressed you?
I believe all industry events have something, a new elements which are impressive. The IAPCO annual meeting is always an experience because of the high level of speakers. The educational seminars we do are hosted in cities which perform in the best way. And that's something I can say that it has impressed me. I was recently in Belgium for the educational seminar of IAPCO, and I was impressed by the level of not just the hospitality, which is, of course, not... It's a prerequisite and it has to be given, but it's not the same in every country. We know that Greeks are very, very good on that. I have to be proud of that. But I was impressed by the level I was impressed by how high they see legacy and impact as part of their strategy, and the actions the destination does to always leave a legacy in the events industry and beyond and create an impact. And I must say, this has to be an example for every destination. So I was lately impressed by that. Of course, all industry events have something new. As I said, PCMA was amazing in Copenhagen and very nice technology, very good marketing, very, very impressive image. I haven't been in something else that has impressed me, to be honest, in the industry events, but I have been impressed by events that our country organizes and the new elements that are coming in education for younger doctors, scientists, the new tools that they have in their hands. We recently organized an event on cardiology, and most of the speakers had to do with artificial intelligence. So I didn't know at that point there is so much development in the integration of artificial intelligence for cardiologists and for the cardiology sector, and that is also for the urology sector. So many medical sectors have integrated AI into their practice, and I think that's something that is going to impress us in the future more.
Very interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know it's a hard question, but I think it's always interesting to get an expert's view on what impresses. And kind of continuing from that line, if we were to create an event specifically for you, if you imagine there are many versions of you in different countries and different variations with your experience, with your knowledge, do you have an idea of what you would be looking for in an event? Is there specific education? Is there specific inspiration? What would you really like to see at an event that's designed around your needs?
I'm very, very passionate about personal development and inspiration and mental health and mental health practices. So I would be very excited to be part of the organization of an event of that kind that only invites inspirational leaders, experienced speakers on stage who recreate an energy, a very high energy. We already have such events, of course, but I would like to see it in another format, perhaps, let's say, open spaces, silent parallel rooms, different arenas and different areas where people can interact. And my dream is also, and that's part of my passion, to organize in Greece a world event on dancing, because it's part of my hobby and my personal, let's say, life, and it hasn't happened in Greece. So I would really like to have an international event of the best dancers of the world who are delivering classes. I'm not speaking about event for 100 people, but let's say 1,000 people, but that's the personal aspect. On a business aspect, I would really like to be part of an event that invites inspirational leaders, mentors, and let's say key opinion leaders and experts in this field from all around the world.
Brilliant. I think that's, I
and
love
that's
it.
That's partly happening. Partly happening, but not just on 100%, let's say, level.
Well, maybe we will hear about your dance event coming up soon. I think that would be fun. You know,
it's
you've
not
been
so
the,
easy.
The ambassador rather than the organizer, or both, right?
I hope
kind
so.
Of
I hope
connect
so.
Everything together. Great, Cici, yeah, we've covered.
We're speaking about work-life balance. So I just mentioned my life balance. Let's say element, that's why I mentioned dancing.
Perfect. We've covered a lot of ground. I think I have a couple of last questions for you. And one is kind of related to this, which is if you could change anything in the industry, you know, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it and something would change, what would you use that wish for? What would you use that wand for?
Let's say the broader thing I would like to change, and the small, not smaller, but on a global aspect and on a more national aspect. On a global aspect, I would really like to see our industry being recognized as a top industry and our profession to be certified. And this is part of what we do on IAPCO right now. So that is something I would like to see. I would like to see young professionals asking to be part of our industry like crazy, and for us not to be able to cope with the demand, and that's not the case right now. And we would there's so many people in this business who can really inspire and educate young professionals in the best possible way. So we do need that, and that's something I would like to change if I had the way to do it. It cannot be changed so easily. But we're trying, of course. And on a national aspect, if I could just create more facilities in a big convention center in the city of Athens, it would be tomorrow. It would be amazing, because there are so many events that we cannot host in this country because of the lack of capacity and availability. And that's one of my largest challenges, let's say, on a national level. So this would be what I would like to have tomorrow, if possible. We do have amazing facilities, but we have organized Olympic Games. We have hosted Olympic Games in this city, and we do not have a conference center for more than, let's say, 3,000-4,000 people. And this is something absolutely necessary, as Athens is climbing their ranking as a meetings destination, and Greece in general, not just Athens. And we do urgently need more space and more facilities. And this will create, of course, more jobs and will help the economy. So this is, let's say, my dream as a member of the National Association of PCOs.
Love it. I think if the mayor of Athens is listening, and I know you're connected, you will.
He has listened to me many times, all of them. It's not that easy, but I keep on dreaming and hoping.
Excellent. We hope that we can help to make that possible for you. Cici, thank you so much for this conversation. I think it's been fascinating to learn about your experience and your vision and how you see the meetings world. I wanted to, last question for you is to get a recommendation from you of somebody else that we should interview on the podcast, another exclusive guest for us.
Absolutely. I would propose, actually, our IAPCO president, Sarah Markey-Ham, who is also an amazing PCO in Australia. And she would be, I guess she would be very willing to speak to you, as well as perhaps also Martin Boyle, our CEO, our IAPCO CEO. And I would recommend these two people. There are so many people I can recommend, but for now, I think this is enough.
Well, how about one last question? What would you ask them? What do you think we should ask them that would be really interesting, in particular Sarah?
What their vision is on the position that they serve, what their vision, what the dream is from this role that they have right now. Yeah. What do they want to see in the future of the meetings industry?
Perfect. And how that impacts the PCO world.
And, right? And how that impacts our world and our, let's say, our next generation leaders also, which is highly important.
All right. Thank you for the recommendation. Cici, it's been a pleasure. I hope everybody listening has enjoyed the conversation as much as I have. Thank you for joining us today and wishing you lots of success. And hopefully we'll have some news for a new large venue in Athens soon. I'd love to report on that. But keep us posted if it happens, and we'll make sure to share the news.
You will be for the first to know, I promise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miguel.